I've got several things to discuss, but I'd like to know what's on your mind before I get started.
You guys have anything?
No, I'm good. Nothing particular.
All it's your right. show today.
Well, how long has it been since we've seen this day, like a week, like the last 5 business days? About 10
it's been
years.
A while. Yeah, no, I don't think 10 years, but it's crazy.
You know, it always feels different, but it never is. This is I got up this morning. I think the futures were down 250, 300, and the next thing, open market opened up 200. There got to be a lot of people out there.
It opened down 350, then it was up 300, and now we're down 72. I mean, I have people bitching I didn't buy. I have people bitching that I did buy.
Yeah. Well, I told you last week we're at the beach, and yesterday we took a walk, and the market was down 600. And I turned the television back on when we got back, and it was down 1,000. And I'm, you know, my stomach starts getting tight, and then I hear the guy say it had been down 1,500. And my wife told me to turn off the TV, which I did. So, you got many calls from clients who've been spooked?
Not really. I think people are calling in. We're doing some structured note business because the yields have gotten so high with the volatility. But most people want to buy. It's just a matter of when you add stuff.
Well, I don't want to get into markets. That's a little scary to me. But thank goodness.
What's scary to you?
That people want to jump in. I'm not. I just remember going through the Merrill Lynch downfall. That there was. I remember I had retired by then, but I got a call from a fellow that I'd hired, and he said, "I'm thinking about putting a lot of money in Merrill." And the stock was at 20. He said, "How much lower can it go?" And I remember saying, "Well, you know, it could go a lot lower." And obviously it did. So it doesn't feel like there's much capitulation out there. You know, when that last person says, "I'll never own a stock." So that's just my observation of 36 years doing that. I hope I'm wrong.
We talked last week about the game board. How did you all do versus what you had on the game board from last week?
I got the ACAT done, and I can't remember what my other thing was.
I'm looking at my notes. I don't know if I wrote it all down. Yeah, is that the 9.5 million ACAT?
Yes.
Wow. Where did that come from?
It was a long time contact of mine that took about a year to get over.
Terrific. Will, anything with you as far as getting the planning that we started going?
Yes. Yeah, so I began that project and am in the process of rolling it out to the team. We have a WPA analyst, a wealth planning analyst that serves with our branch, and I'm working with him to get that up and running, get a list up and running and present it to the team. But obviously with these current market situations, that's kind of put on the back burner. But, yes, I'm currently working on it.
So you've got a plan in place?
Correct.
All right. And you told me last time, I think, that the WPA is somebody you could put in front of clients.
Correct, but it's kind of more complicated than that because he's currently transitioning to a team. So we may put him in front of clients or we may start presenting it ourselves.
Okay. All right. All right. Let's we talked a little bit about let me get my notes. I need some notes here. We talked last time about I sent you the document for tracking referral conversations. It's good to be tracking referral conversations by client. Are you all using that form?
Yeah, so I have it pulled up, and that's something we may incorporate, but anytime we do have a referral from an existing client, we make it a strong focus to, I guess, say thank you and make them realize, without being too sappy, how much we appreciate them having confidence to refer us to someone else.
All right. That form is also there just to make sure that that's always a front of mind when you walk in to see a client, they come in to see you, whatever, that you've got that form in your folder just to remind, see where you are referral-wise and remind you that to be on the lookout for a time to have a referral conversation. All right?
All right.
All right. Again, understanding that not every time is the right time to have that conversation. Now, I want to talk about somebody who is appropriate to have a referral conversation. John, when you think of someone who you think is appropriate to begin a referral conversation with, get that person in your mind, the client.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. If that person were coming in 30 minutes and you had to have a referral conversation, how would you start that referral conversation with that client?
I'd say, Bob, you know, our business is growing. We've added a couple of associates. We've actually changed our model a bit. We have less clients, and the reason we've done it is we want room for adding new people when people like you refer them to us. So we're looking for 5 to 10 quality relationships over the next 2 years. Who do you think we should be talking to?
All right. Is this a person who's given you referrals before, John?
Yes.
Okay. Is there someone you can think of who hasn't given you referrals? Same scenario, they're coming in 30 minutes and you've got to have a referral conversation with them. Would your conversation be different?
Nope.
All right. Andrew, same question. You got a client coming in, you got to have a referral conversation. Get a client in mind. You got one?
Sure.
Okay. How do you have that conversation with that client?
So I would ask them, you know, for any feedback on our business and then say, you know, hey, to wrap up, we've never really talked about other folks that we should be talking to, and then do the same sort of thing that John does with, you know, we've recently changed our business model. We're looking to add 5 to 7, you know, quality clients like yourselves over the next, you know, call it 12 to 16 months. And, you know, is there anybody that hops to your mind that we ought to, that would be worth us talking to?
All right. And Andrew, what's the importance of saying we're looking for 5 to 7 clients? I'll just answer the question and shut up. Why do you put that, you and John both put that into the conversation?
Because we emphasize how we just do not have many clients at all, and that's a big differentiator. So if we looked at them and said we're looking to add 20 clients, they'd go, well, you've changed your business. You're telling me that you're limited clients, but it sounds like you're going to double the amount you handle.
Okay, I got it.
If we do move to the private wealth platform, our minimum is going to have to be a hard $2 million. So once we do that, that conversation is going to be – everyone's going to ask why we're doing it. And the reason we are doing it is it's more focused on our market. We have more access in the firm. There's only 350 people throughout the whole country part of this, and we're basically going to cover the Carolinas and Southern Virginia and – part of Georgia. And I think it's going to be a great entree to say, hey, we're looking for a very specific type of person. Minimum's $2 million. Actually, it's $5 million. And who do you think we should be? Because I think it's going to differentiate us in UBS in this area. So we are going to use that transition to get referrals.
Where's the closest PWA to you?
The office is Atlanta.
All right. Terrific. Now, let me give you one thought, John. If you do that,
What are you going to do when you come across a $1 million opportunity?
I'm not going to take it.
Who are you going to refer it to?
I haven't thought about that yet.
One of the things you want is you want FAs comfortable bringing you all into a situation that's a little bit too big for them. A lot of PWA guys have really added to their practice through referrals from FAs. I would find an FA that you know is really good. I mean, if you go into the chairman of the board's office and he's got somebody to refer, but it's less than $2 or $5 million, whatever the absolute minimum is, you want somebody good to, kind of like what Andrew just said about you only want 5 to 7 clients. It's the same sort of thing. Well, we don't deal with people with less than $2 million, but I work with somebody who I have vetted and I know is really, really good. And what that gives you is a little bit of capital in the boardroom that they can bring you, you know, you give to them, they bring you in on situations that are a little out of their, what's the right, they bring you
into
situations they don't deal with every day, I think is the most.
And I agree. And I know guys that do a ton of business that way.
So I would be scouting. Does somebody like that jump out in your office?
Not yet. I would interview people. I don't want to know them. I would take a long view of it and find the right person.
Yeah, yeah. And your manager probably could lead you to save you a little bit of time in that process. But I just know how important that is to a PWA FA. I know two PWAs, one at your firm and one at Merrill, and they've gained a lot of business that way. All right, Will. The same question that I ask Andrew and John, somebody's coming in, how would you start a referral conversation with that person?
I would probably, just like Andrew and John, would copycat exactly what they would say. I've seen them do it in meetings and have been able to see it firsthand work. So I would say a very similar thing, that we are going through a process of refining our business where we have actually reduced the number of families that we work with, and the main reason that we did this is in order to have the capacity and to be able to provide the same exact service to other families that you may refer us to. So is there anyone that jumps out in your mind that we should be working with or in something like that?
All right. I know this is kind of a tedious exercise. I mean, you all do this all the time. The point is to always be thinking about those conversations. Sometimes you can get so engrossed in a conversation that you don't, it just doesn't pass through your mind. So you all know what to say. Just want you to recognize the opportunities that you have. Now, I want to go into the homework for this week. And what I ask is for each of you to be prepared to talk about two candidates for your mastermind group. John, you want to start?
I got my attorney I've talked about, and I got the insurance guy I talked about before. I already met with both of them. We're getting close.
When you say you've met with them specifically about a mastermind group?
I've had meetings, and I've mentioned it to them about possibly doing something, getting together on a more regular basis.
Okay. Now, The way we recommend growing that group, and I know I'm repeating from last week, is you get the first. Who are you going to go to first, the attorney or the insurance guy?
The attorney.
All right, and you're going to get buy-in from the attorney. As you've described this attorney, he's probably a perfect fit and would do this with enthusiasm. Correct?
Correct.
The two of you decide who the third person is going to be. And then the three of you decide who the fourth person may be.
Mm-hmm.
Got it?
Got it.
All right. Andrew, who you got?
So I've got an accountant that does deal with a lot of our kind of real estate related clients and it's extremely wired in. John took the insurance guy that I wanted to use. So I'm struggling, and I've got an attorney in mind.
You can have him. I'm trading him back to you.
So I have an attorney in mind then as the third one. I'm still not sure in my own mind if she's the right fit or not. I don't know that she deals with large enough clients. She has tried to refer me stuff before, and some of it's been in the 2 to 5 range.
2 to 5 million?
Yeah.
All right.
And those referrals have not panned out to date.
They just wouldn't talk with you, didn't fit?
Correct.
Why didn't they? All right.
She put it in their court to follow up. I didn't get their contact information, so I'm kind of sitting out here.
All right. So right now you've got an accountant who deals with real estate. You're still up in the air about an attorney. John's traded you insurance for 2 first-round draft picks. Who's going to be the first person that you're going to go see, that you're going to talk to about this?
Probably the accountant.
All right. And is this last week, Andrew, we talked about a general mastermind group or an industry-specific mastermind group. When you say this accountant does work with real estate folks?
Well, he's the managing partner of a large southeastern-based accounting firm. He just happens to deal with a lot of real estate folks, but he's wired in across industries. So I would say this is and we've referred in business already, so I would say it's a general group.
All right. How are you going to go about finding the attorney?
I'll probably talk to the accountant and see what he thinks.
All right. Good. Good. It doesn't have to be an attorney. It's just somebody who's growing what they're doing, and you can help each other. Now, John, does anybody else jump out to you as – I'm going to go a different way. Do you know who each of your clients use for their CPA?
Pretty much, yes.
Have you gone through the enthusiastically endorsed question with the CPA? This is something we touched lightly on back in December.
Yes, we do to that.
You ask them if they can enthusiastically endorse the CPA.
And what's happened in a lot of ways is we've referred them to their CPA they're using now by doing it with other people.
I don't get what you're saying. I missed that.
So we have done this in the years past, that we have met our clients and talked to our clients' CPAs, and we've reached out to other clients and say, hey, are you happy with your CPA? We've had a good experience with Joe Smith at Elliott Davis. You should look at him. And that's – We've done that, and we've done that on the estate attorney. We've not done it. We've done it on our own, but not. We've been doing it for years. I'm basically saying.
All right. So if you've got a client who calls and says, "I'm really tired of my CPA; doesn't do a good job," you have a go-to CPA.
Most definitely.
All right. Will, have you thought about a mastermind group?
I have. So I have. An estate attorney that works with one of the estate attorneys that we have referred a client to. So one, it's called Todd Stewart. And then I have also an accountant that works specifically in the M&A firm that works for that same company, Elliott Davis, that Andrew was talking, he's going to use as a part of his mastermind group as the managing director.
All right, who are you going to go to first?
So I've already have exchanged emails and talked to these guys regularly. I know them very well because they are my, I guess I went to school with them. So I would go to the estate planning attorney first and then reach out to the, we would probably reach out to that M&A accountant as well.
Both these are Wofford guys?
Yes, sir.
All right. So they've probably seen you at your best and your worst, right?
Always, yes, sir.
All right. John, when's a reasonable time for you to begin to have that discussion with the attorney about starting this group?
I'm probably going to join the golf course so when it gets a little warmer.
All right. Andrew, same question. When's a good time to have your first conversation?
It's whenever. I was just with the guy last week, so it's probably within the next month. Because there's not,
right.
That's not a driving reason for me to call him.
Okay, I get it. I get it. And then, Will, when's a reasonable time for you to have a conversation?
Probably casually as well, on the golf course.
All right. Who's a better golfer, you or your dad?
I am.
Bullshit. It's you would think he was born in Czechoslovakia the way he swings a club.
Wow, that was ugly.
Yep.
Okay. The old thing.
And not the nice part of Czechoslovakia either.
Yeah, my best wood's a pencil. All right. I'm kind of at a. Let me just plant one other thing and then call it quits for the day. Centers of influence. We've touched on that a little bit. A center of influence is somebody who gives you referrals and can specifically describe what you do. How many of those folks do you think you have, John?
I'd say I don't think it says I'd say five obvious people, meaning CPAs, attorneys, but I think there's 10 people sprinkled around the investment banking that run their groups that have told our story very well, and that's pretty much driving the growth of our business. So if you're the head of leverage finance at XYZ and a managing director asks, what do you do with your money, these guys are really good at telling our story, and that's where we're seeing the most of our growth. I look at them as centers of influence. They're not obvious, but they're huge impact on the people we're getting.
All right. And you never want to stop that. You want to be the go-to person with those types of people. Outside of that group, and I'm not saying get rid of those people and bring in new ones. I'm not I don't mean that. Outside of that IBK type group, do you have any centers of influence?
We have an attorney that's referred business. We have a CPA that's referred business. We have some other people on the peripheral M&A kind of guys, but if there's a focus I want to get to, I want more of those people referring us business, centers of influence outside our client base.
All right. Can the attorney and the CPA who have referred your team business, can they specifically describe what you do?
Yes, very much so.
Do they know you have a minimum?
Yes.
Do they know you have a concierge practice for a limited number of people?
Yes.
Do they know your service model?
Yes.
All right, so these people don't just say, John's a great guy, you got to go see him. They can really describe what you do really well.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Same thing, Andrew. A couple of centers of influence. Who jumps out at you?
I mean, I've got the wife of a client who's probably sent us, how much has she sent us? $12 million. And so she tells our story very well, and she's very well respected. And then, I mean, John and I know a lot of the same people from a COI perspective, from CPAs and attorneys, but that's a focus of mine to try to get out there more on that versus while continuing to kind of beat the bushes on through my network of people I can go after directly.
Okay. The wife of a client, what does she do that puts her in a position to give you great referrals?
She's a former investment banker. She gets the story. And when people ask her about us, so we use her as a reference, but when people ask her who does she use, she talks and describes in great detail our service model, the planning, as well as the sophistication of our business.
All right. All right. Will, any COIs for you?
No, the only COIs that I would have was those current ones, but that is a long-term goal of mine, is to get COIs. And as our network starts to become one of our like clients, then we would probably be able to cross that bridge. But as of right now, no, the only COIs I would be able to classify are those two people that I already talked about.
Okay. All right. Well, folks, I'm through my outline for the day. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think when we do eventually make the change to private wealth, I think that is going to open up a lot of doors for us, because it is so exclusive and there are not many people around this market that do it. So anybody on the fence about why they should deal with us, I think it's going to give us a leg up, and I also think it's going to get people curious of why we were chosen to cover this area.
What do you give up? There's good and bad in almost everything. I don't know what you give up.
Well, we're giving up going forward. We can't take anything less than $2 million.
But you were doing that already.
Yeah, but we still have some legacy business. And again, if Joe Blow's CEO's son has $200,000, we'll take the account and not get paid. I don't have a problem doing that. But no, what we're giving up is, I think it's elevating our market, which we want to do anyway, talking to you and everything else, and it's, I think we're just going to get bigger quicker. That's why we're doing it. But I don't think we're giving up the anchors of taking everybody who wants to do business with us, and that's not our model.
Well, some people do, you just alluded to it, some people have to give up a lot. They deal with a lot of wealthy people, but they grew up in the business dealing with not as wealthy people, and they have to walk away from that. I don't see anything that you all are giving up.
That's why we're doing it.
Is the payout the same?
Yep.
Well, all right. Makes sense to me. Good to talk with you. I'll talk with you. Remember, next week we're talking on Monday, not Tuesday.
All right.
It's on your calendar.
That'd be great. Thank you for doing this.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Uh-huh.